Okay, so I know to at least Toby and I, we have a board meeting to get to at 8 o'clock, which means I have to finish the meeting at 7:55 so that Matt could start the recording, the session for that meeting without canceling our session. So why don't we jump right into it, and God willing, we should finish at 7:55. What that means basically is as always, if there's clarification questions, I encourage you to ask questions so that we understand pshat in the flow of the Gemara. But if anyone has any additional ha'aros, any additional insights, I always value that. But maybe we should save for the end in case we run out of time. So thanks for your understanding, and thank you for being with us tonight. Our topic tonight is basically centered around Maaser Sheni. So a quick review of Maaser Sheni is in order. On the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the, sorry, first, second, yes, fourth, fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, one needs to take a tithe of fruit that they bring up to Yerushalayim, of growth that they bring up to Yerushalayim. And this Maaser Sheni that they bring up to Yerushalayim, they eat in Yerushalayim. That's really what you got to do with it. Now, the thing is, people generally can't lug all of that from Akko or wherever they live all the way to Yerushalayim. So what they would do is they would transfer the kedusha of the Maaser Sheni, the sanctity of the Maaser Sheni, temporarily onto coins. They would then bring those coins, which are more portable, they'd bring them to Yerushalayim, and then they would purchase food in Yerushalayim. Thus, the sanctity from the original Maaser Sheni goes on to the coins and then onto the food purchased in the shuks of Yerushalayim, and that's where you eat it. And it is not allowed to be consumed outside Yerushalayim. And by the way, once you make it into Yerushalayim, you're no longer allowed to redeem. Let's say you lugged your Maaser Sheni all the way to Yerushalayim, and you're like, I don't like my food. I like the food in the shuk. I want to turn that into Maaser Sheni. You're not allowed to then be poda, redeem it onto coins, because once you're in Yerushalayim, you don't need to travel anymore. So that special rule is no longer in place. That's basically what we got to know as the background. Any clarification questions, just so we know what Maaser Sheni is, because that's what the entire shiur is about tonight. It's about Maaser Sheni. So I really want to encourage, if there's anything unclear or that we want to know more about Maaser Sheni, please ask. Okay, we'll learn more about it as we go. Kachi Kachim. Ah, so Tanina Chodazimna, so we're on Yud Tes Amid Beis 19b, and it's the third line from the top. The last one line, Kachi. It's a quote, Kachi Kachim. So it would be the first page in the art scroll on 19b, I would assume. Kachi Kachim. So Tanina Chodazimna, Maaser Sheni, Behekish Shelo Niftu. So if you're keeping score, by the way, our Mishnah is not the first time we mentioned that Maaser Sheni that's consumed outside of Yerushalayim is problematic, that you're not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. We also mentioned it in the Mishnah that's found, I believe, on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So the question is, why did the Mishnayos need to repeat themselves and tell us the same rule in two on two different occasions, which is seemingly the same thing? Thou shalt only eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and if one eats it outside of Yerushalayim, they get Malkus. Why do we need to hear it twice? So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Seifa b'Maaser Sheni tahor v'gavra tahor t'ka'achu chutz l'choma. The second time we're taught this rule is everything that we just said. You're tahor, the food is tahor, no spiritual impurity, but you have to eat it inside Yerushalayim. Reisha, however, the first time we discussed Maaser Sheni, but Maaser Sheni tameh, v'gavra tameh, v'ka'achu lev Yerushalayim. It's actually talking about an individual who did make sure to eat it in Yerushalayim. However, either he, the consumer, was tameh, or B, the Maaser Sheni was tameh. Welcome, Zadie. And so, because I know Minion's a little tight right now, thank you. So we're on Yud Tesamen Beis 19b toward the top. So even if only one is tame, the individual or the Meiser Sheni is tame, that is a big no-no. And that's what the other instance, the other teaching of Meiser Sheni tells us. So two teachings. Either everything's tahor, but I ate it outside Yerushalayim, or everything is tame, and even though I ate it in Yerushalayim, it doesn't matter that I ate in Yerushalayim. I'm not supposed to be eating Meiser Sheni that's tame, or I'm not supposed to be eating Meiser Sheni that's tahor when I am tame. That's what we came to learn. Now, this is a nice answer, but uminalan demechayev ale mishum tuma. Well, why don't you know? Who cares that's tame? You know, if I don't care about eating tame food, why should it be a problem if I eat Meiser Sheni that's tame? Or why should it be problematic if I'm tame and eat it? So we need a source for this, and particularly we need a source to know that you get malchus for it. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo vi'artin yimenu etame. So what makes, we learned this in our Chumash class a while back, vidoy masros, where one confesses, for lack of a better term, that they adhere to the laws of Maestris, and you're saying, I didn't eat from it when I am tame. Bein shani tame v'hu tahor, bein shani tahor v'hu tame. Whether I am tame and the Maestris is tahor, or whether I'm tahor but the Maestris Sheni is tame, both are problematic. But the Braisa says, v'heichan musar achila eni avdea, but I'm not so sure where the ashara is, because again, what's an ashara? An ashara is thou shalt not kill, right? Ashara in the Torah is a pasuk telling me, do not do this. This is aser. That's neser. Remember, we need an ashara in order. We need ashara and onus. In order to get malchus, you need a pasuk that tells you don't do something, and an onus, and here's the punishment if you do it, if we need to modify it. So where's the ashara to tell me that I would get malchus? So I don't have a pasuk that tells me that explicitly. Just because I confess that I didn't eat from Meiser Sheni when I'm tame, yes, I can infer that I'm not supposed to eat Meiser Sheni when I'm tame, but I still am lacking a pasuk that explicitly tells me not to. So the Gemara gives a quick parenthetical in middle of the Braisa to clarify what the Braisa wasn't sure about. Tumas aguf behed yetziv. So the Braisa can't be wondering where the Azhara for the individual being tame is, because there we have an explicit pasuk. Nefesh asher tiga bo'u tama ana erev lo yochol min akadshim. So it says explicitly that somebody who is tame may not eat from kadshim, may not eat from sanctified food. Rather, what was the Braisa not certain about? Elatumas atzmo minayin. Where do I know when the Meiser Sheni itself is tame, when the Meiser Sheni itself is tame, that I'm not allowed to eat it? Even if I'm tahor, I'm not allowed to eat the Meiser Sheni that's tame. Now that the Gemara clarified what the Mishnah wasn't, what the Braisa wasn't sure about, we now come back to the Braisa, which answers for us, Dichsiv, Losuchal, Lechol, Bisharecha. So it says, you shall not eat this in your suburbs. You shall not eat this outside of Yerushalayim. Ulalan u'omer. And elsewhere it says, when referring to Bechoros, to eating a Bechor. So a little bit of background. There's something unique that a Bechor, firstborn offering, that sustains a mum, it becomes invalidated for the carbon. While you're not allowed to work it because it's holy, and while you're not allowed to shear wool off of it because it is consecrated, one is still actually allowed to eat it. So it says, Bisharecha tochlenu hatame v'hatahor, that in your gates, meaning in your communities outside Yerushalayim, a Bechor you are allowed to eat tame and tahor. What does that mean, tame and tahor? The time to be Rabbi Shmuel, afiu tame v'tar ochlin bekar achas v'inchoshin. What it means is that Reuven and Shimon, Reuven is tahor, Shimon is tame. They can eat from the same plate together. They can eat the same bechor. What does that mean? It means A, the fact that we're okay with someone who's tame eating a bechor shows us, A, that we're okay with someone who's tame eating from a bechor. That's number one. Number two, we're also okay with the guy who's tahor eating with the guy who's tame, meaning the guy who's tame, what's going to happen? He's going to touch the bechor and turn it into a tame bechor. And then the tahor person is going to be eating a bechor that is tame. Nonetheless, we are okay with that. A special rule for bechoros. But because if you notice, we have two psukim here. We have the pasuk of bechor and the pasuk of Ma'aser Sheni. They both use similar language. They talk about eating bisharecha, eating in your gates, in your communities. So Ka'amar Rachmana, what is God hinting to us? That kind of eating that was permissible for a bechor to eat, that you're allowed to either a tame person eat a tahor bechor or a tahor person could eat a tame bechor, those acts are permissible when it comes to bechor. But hacha, in the case of Ma'aser Sheni, lo seichel. That comes to teach us that Ma'aser Sheni, however, it says, lo sucha l'shareva, this you shall not eat in your communities. That which was permissible for a bechor will be impermissible for Ma'aser Sheni. That's the bottom line. So a bechor, whether the individual was tame or whether the food, the sanctified food became tame, is irrelevant. It's permissible. So what would be the opposite of that for Ma'aser Sheni? The implications for Ma'aser Sheni, whether I'm tame, whether the Ma'aser Sheni's tame, either way, I'm not allowed to eat it so long as something in the equation is tame. That is our proof from there. And that brings us to the end of that section of the Gemara. Now, the whole Gemara here is talking about Ma'aser Sheni, but we're going to have different thoughts about Ma'aser Sheni throughout the Gemara, but that brings us to the end of the first section. Again, just a reminder to everyone, we have to end by 7:55, so I'm just pausing for clarification questions, and God willing, we'll take more questions, insights at the end, Bez Hashem, if and when we have time. Is there anything I can clarify in this section? So again, just quick summary. What we learned was that if I'm Tamei, I can't eat Tahor Ma'aser Sheni, and even if I'm Tahor, I can't eat Tamei Ma'aser Sheni. We said, what's the source? The same, we basically said, we showed in the Psukim that Ma'aser Sheni is the opposite of Bechor. Bechor, it doesn't matter if I'm Tamei or the Bechor is Tamei. So the opposite is true for Ma'aser Sheni. If I'm Tamei or the Ma'aser Sheni is Tamei, it does matter, and I would get Malchus. Okay. Moving forward. We know one Dvar Padiyahu. So the implication was, if you look in the first mission, it says, what's the issue with this tummy miser that you weren't poded, that you didn't redeem it? That implies something unique. Unlike miser sheni that's tahor, that once you get to Yerushalayim, because what's the whole idea of redeeming miser sheni? That it's a long journey to Yerushalayim. I don't want to lug all that food with me. So what do? I transfer Kedusha onto coins. That's much more portable. Once I'm in Yerushalayim, I don't really, you know, God didn't give me the same dispensation, the same ability to transfer onto coins because you're already in Yerushalayim. Eat your food already. However, it seems to be that Ma'aser Sheni that's Tamei, however, one would be allowed to redeem it. Now, what's the source for that? Minala Dvar Padiyahu, Dom Rabbi Elazar, Minayin the Ma'aser Sheni, Shinitma Shapono Safi of Yerushalayim. How do we know that Tamei Ma'aser could be redeemed in Yerushalayim? Tamalomar kilo suchal se'eso. And now what's the word se'es mean? Ve'ein se'es ela achila. It refers to eating, that word refers to. How do we know that? Shnemar v'yisa masos me'es pana. It's quoting from Bereishis. It said v'yisa masos me'es pana v'aleim v'tirav masas ben yamin talking about when the sons of Yaakov are spending time with Yosef, I believe. So the word se'es refers to food. So we see from Sukkim here that one is allowed to redeem the food of Meiser Sheni when it's in Yerushalayim, when we're dealing with that which is Tame. So right, because it says Kilo Suchal Se'eso, when one is not able to eat it. When one's not allowed to eat it, that's when one's allowed to redeem it. So when's one not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni? When it is Tame, or when it's outside of Yerushalayim. That's great, right? Either when it's outside Yerushalayim, or when it is Tame within Yerushalayim, one is allowed to redeem it. Now, the other side of the coin, Rav Asi asks, where do we know that Meiser Sheni, even if I'm one step out of Yerushalayim, I still haven't crossed the threshold, I can, even if I'm like one step away, it's like silly almost, right? But still, I'm allowed to redeem the Meiser Sheni onto coins. Shnemar, Kilo Suchal Se'eso, from the same Pasuk. Aye. But wait, how are we allowed to use the same Pasuk for two different halachos? Look at Rabbi Eliezer. I need this Pasuk for Rabbi Eliezer's point. What was for Rabbi Eliezer's point about Meiser Sheni became Tamei? How am I allowed to use the same Pasuk to teach me that Meiser Sheni that's Tahor could still be redeemed even one step outside Yerushalayim? So what the Gemara is going to show here is that the fact that the Pasuk picked an odd word that could have multiple, could have two implications, shows that's hinting to two different halachos. If the Pasuk only wanted to talk about not eating, Rabbi Eliezer's halacha, why did it use this odd word of se'es? Just say lo sucha lecho. Be more explicit. Talk about eating. But once you say that, maybe that's all it's coming to talk about. Maybe all it's coming to talk about is eating. Maybe it's only talking about distance. Why didn't just say, if you want to talk about the second halacha, about the distance I can redeem myself even one step for Yerushalayim, why didn't just use the language of lit, you know, like netilas yadayim, right? Little. So why didn't just use that language? So my se'eso shmamina tarti, because se'es can refer to food and can refer to carrying. Because it's a word with ambiguous, or at least with two connotations, God deliberately used that word to imply, to convey both halachos. A, that tummy miser shame to be redeemed within your shalayim, because you're no longer allowed to eat it, so that's redeemable. And B, that even if you're still outside your shalayim, you still need to carry it a little bit, also it is redeemable. Now we're just going to delve slightly deeper into this halacha. Let's say I am inside the walls of Yerushalayim partially. Now, what's that mean, partially? Pshita huvachutz maso b'fnim kaltu mechitzos. Certainly, if I am outside, but my Meiser Sheni I'm already holding my Meiser Sheni inside over the threshold of Yerushalayim, then if the Meiser Sheni is in Yerushalayim, that's pashitas, that's obvious that you can't redeem it at that point. The question, however, is who b'fnim aso b'chutz ma? Let's say my Meiser Sheni hasn't crossed the threshold, but I, who am holding the Meiser Sheni, am inside Yerushalayim. So then, what would the halacha be? I know it sounds a little familiar to our favorite sugya about, let's say I'm on a tree that's in Yerushalayim and outside Yerushalayim, right? So it sounds a little bit like that. So Tnalu Ahu Saba B'dvei Rabbi Shimon Yechai, there was an elderly gentleman who studied in Rabbi Shimon Yechai's yeshiva. He said, it says in the Pasuk, Ki yirchak mcha hamakom mimi lu echa. When this place will be distant from you, from the language of male, from your completedness. What's the implication? If you look in Rashi spells it out. Dibur Hamas Mimulecha. At the end of Rashi says, El Kirchak Mimulecha Pada, Al Kshata Bifnim, O Masecha Bifnim, Lo Racha Kamaka Mimulecha. I need to be completely distant from Yerushalayim in order to redeem my Yerushalayim. So long as I'm in the wall, or my Yerushalayim made it past the walls of Yerushalayim, that's not considered me being completely distant from Yerushalayim. Therefore, I would not be allowed to redeem my Yerushalayim so long as part of me, either me or the my Yerushalayim, are no longer distant from Yerushalayim. Pasuk says, when you are distant from Yerushalayim, then you're allowed to redeem my Yerushalayim. But if I'm not completely distant, mimiluecha, not completely distant from Yerushalayim, either my Yerushalayim is in or I'm in, then I'm no longer allowed to redeem it. So by Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, wait, you know, maybe that makes sense. Maybe the Meiser Shein can be considered part of my person when it's like on my backpack. But let's say Nakale Bakanya, let's say I'm in Yerushalayim and my Meiser Shein, you know, you see like the guy holding the stick with the bag on it. So let's say I'm holding it outside Yerushalayim on the bag. I have a selfie stick and it's on that selfie stick I'm sticking out of Yerushalayim. So then, is that considered part of my person at that point? Take you, we don't know. We'll have to leave until Eliyahu HaNavi comes and resolves it for us. We don't know. And that brings us to the final section of our Gemara for today. So let me pause. Do we have any clarification questions at this point? Again, I thank you everyone for working with me on this slightly faster pace than usual. I hope it's not to our detriment. Is there anything that I could pause to clarify? Okay, moving forward. Now, here is an interesting debate. I always thought, and this is what some would argue, is that at what point am I chayav for eating Meiser Sheni out of Yerushalayim? Well, generally, once I designate something Meiser Sheni, The moment I designate my Iser Sheni, if I decide to eat it, I'm not in Yerushalayim, I get Malkus. I violate the Iser and I get Malkus. However, this is a very interesting ruling here. Amar Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan, my Iser Sheni, imesech hayavin alav. When am I going to be held accountable? When am I going to get Malkus when I eat my Iser Sheni? Misha ro'a p'nei achoma. Only once it goes into Yerushalayim. What does that mean? You first have to bring the Iser Sheni to Yerushalayim, then head out of Yerushalayim, and then if you take it out of Yerushalayim, then you're chayv if you eat it outside. But if you never went to Yerushalayim to begin with, you're not supposed to eat it, but you're not going to get malchus for it. You know what this sounds like, by the way? I don't think anyone here was with, maybe one of you, I think Irwin's on with us, was with us between Mincha Maariv yesterday, so I gave a shiur about mitzdar pater min asukkah. When you're under duress, when are you allowed to leave the sukkah? So we talked about how it says in the Mishnah, Misha tisrach hamikvah, when your soup gets ruined from the rain. But the question we asked was, why did Chazal have to create this objective standard of when your soup gets ruined? Mitzdar is supposed to be a subjective shear. It differs from person to person. So by Chazal quantifying a threshold, doesn't that detract from the subjective nature of it? So the Ran offered an answer. He said, there's a difference between not entering the sukkah to begin with versus entering the sukkah and then leaving it. To go into the sukkah and to leave it is worse than never going in at all, because to leave mid-meal in the sukkah, it's like you're kicking the sukkah on the way out. Like for those who heard the drasha over Yom Tov, from that Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So perhaps there's like this idea over here that it's one thing to eat the Meiser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, but once I bring it into Yerushalayim, it's like a chutzpah to then take it out and then dafka eat it outside Yerushalayim. That might be the hashkafic idea behind it. So the joke I made in Shir was, I said, yeah, you know, some people, they take that logic for coming to Shirim, which is, you know, they say, you know, look, I don't want to have to leave in the middle of the Shir being disrespectful to the rabbi. So you know what? To be on the safe side, I just won't show up to any shiurim that way. So obviously, it doesn't apply to anybody who's here with us. I try to be understanding. People have lives. They have things that they need to do. I am grateful for people who log on. If they need to log off for whatever reason, I'm grateful that they logged on to begin with, which is much more than most people do. So that's the way I like to look at it. Okay. So what's the actual rationale in the Gemara? Not my drasha. So what's the actual rationale? My time of Damar Kra, because it says in the Pasuk, you should eat the Meiser Sheni with Fnei Hashem Elokecha Soklenu in Yerushalayim. Uksiv, and it says, Losucha Lechel Bisharecha, you shall not eat it outside Yerushalayim. Kol Hecha Dekrina Bei Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Soklenu, once we can say that you're able to eat it before God, what meaning once you enter Yerushalayim, then Karina Bei Losucha Lechel Bisharecha, then we can apply the Pasuk, and don't eat it outside Yerushalayim. But if you never got into Yerushalayim to begin with, we can't apply the pasuk of thou shalt not eat it outside Yerushalayim. I meisve, Rav Yossi Omer, we have a contradictory brisa. Rav Yossi said, Kohen should also be a te'ina. So remember, there's something called tevel. Tevel is something that you do not take the meiser, truma, trumas meiser, shane. Whenever you're farming, grow food, there's like these taxes, so to speak, they need to take off to give to tzedakah. And if you don't take off the proper things, you don't take off truma, you don't take off meiser, then the food's called tevel. You're not allowed to eat tevel. You're not allowed to eat something if you don't take off the proper tzedakahs. So, kohen shall also be able to eat. Now, kohen who has a fig, shall tevel, that's tevel. Amar te'ina zu trumas. What's he going to do in order to eat it? He's going to say, this fig is trumasa b'uksa. The stem of it is truma. So now he's designated as truma. Meiser shein b'tzfona. The upper section is meiser shein, meiser rishon. The meiser shein l'druma, the lower section is meiser sheini. Bishnas meiser sheini, bubi yushalayim. And it's during meiser sheini year, of course, and he finds himself in Yerushalayim. Oh, Meiser Ani Vilgvon, or it's a Meiser Ani year where the tithe doesn't go to Yerushalayim, but you give it to the poor, and you're outside of Yerushalayim. Achlav, the Kohen eats this fig now. Loka Achas, he gets Malkus only once. Why? Because he didn't separate Trumos Masros, which is an additional tithe that then the lady is supposed to give to the Kohen. But only once. It's not an issue that he ate Truma, because the Kohen can eat Truma. And now while Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani are supposed to go to either the Levi or to the poor, it's true he stole it from them, but there wasn't like an Isser. Anyone's allowed to eat Meiser, the Meiser Rishon, or anyone's allowed to eat Meiser Ani. So he doesn't get Malkus for eating them. He only gets Malkus once for eating something that Trumos Masros wasn't taken off. However, a non-Kohen would get two sets of Malkus. One, for the reason we said, Trumas Meisers. Number two, for eating Truma as well, which is only for Kohanim. However, ironically, however, let's say you never designated any of it towards Tzedakah at all. So then he would only be Chayiv once for eating Tevel. Now, why do we bring this all in? Taima de Isa Yerushalayim, ha bigvulen lokas shalosh, davagav lavro pnei choma. What's the implication here? The Mishnah said, why are you not chayiv for eating? Shouldn't you be chayiv for eating Meiser Sheni as well? Well, the Mishnah, the Brice has specified, why aren't you chayiv for eating Meiser Sheni? Because you're standing in Yerushalayim. What's the implication? Had you never gone to Yerushalayim, you would be chai for eating truma. So you would be chai for eating truma if you never went to Yerushalayim, this price implies. Against what Rav Asi said, Rav Asi and Rav Yochanan said, Rav Yochanan said that you first had to go to Yerushalayim and then leave in order to be chai. So the Gemara says, the retorts, Daiv Afkein. Maybe this Bryce says, so I'm at a case where you did go and then you left. You just got to read between the lines. But if so, what's the Chiddush of the Bryce? The Bryce is not teaching me anything new. I know what Meiser Rishon is. I know what Meiser Sheni is. I know what Trumas Meiser says. There's nothing novel about this Bryce if it's not coming to teach me that halacha. So therefore, it must be coming to teach me the halacha that if I go to Yerushalayim and leave, sorry, even if I never went to Yerushalayim, I would be chai if I eat Ma'aser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, even if I never went inside Yerushalayim. So maybe it's coming to teach me a different thing. Hachavayaskinan, kagon dailinhu bitivlaihu, where you brought it in when it was tevel, uksavar matashal hurmu kanisha hurmu danya. This concept we'll deal with next time, which is what's the chiddush? No, really, maybe the halacha actually is that you first need to bring the ma'aser sheni to Yerushalayim, then take it out in order to be chayav on eating it. Ah, so what's the novelty? What's the chiddush? What's this b'raisa going to teach me that I would not have known otherwise? It's going to tell me that even though this food entered Yerushalayim as tevel, I hadn't yet designated part of it as Ma'aser Sheni, since within that food there is latent potential Ma'aser Sheni waiting to bud forth, waiting to be designated, even though it only entered Yerushalayim as Tevel, when I take it out of Yerushalayim and now it's I turn it to Ma'aser Sheni, since it entered in Yerushalayim at some point, even though it wasn't Ma'aser Sheni at that time, that'd be sufficient to make me chayiv on eating it outside of Yerushalayim. And maybe that's what the chiddush of the Braisa is. And so it wouldn't be a question of Yochanan. Rav Yochanan can sleep easy tonight knowing that this Braisa would still support him in that you first need to bring the Ma'aser Sheni to Yerushalayim in order to then take it out to be chayiv on it. We'll end this Gemara over here. And God willing, next time we'll get more involved in that principle that we just introduced last time, the idea that even if I haven't yet designated or been mavrish, taken off certain things like Ma'aser Sheni, certain tzedakos, nonetheless, if we view them as if they're already pre-designated, we'll elaborate on that more next time, God willing. So what I want to do now is we have 5 minutes. I want to pause if there's any questions or ha'aros that people have, and then if there's time afterwards, I have something from the Rishonim and Achronim. I wanted to share a question that came up. Okay, so any ha'aros or questions that people have? Okay, I'll share my idea then. So I have a question. In that braisa that we just learned at the end, it says if the Kohen eats a fig that has Trumas Maestros that wasn't taken off, the Kohen's chai for eating it. I have a question though. Remember we learned that you need to eat a kezias, you need to eat a kezias in order to be chayiv. So I guess a fig might not be big enough, or especially if you have a smaller fig, it's not a kezias. It's not in, I guess we're assuming also that these are especially bigger olives, is a sheer kezias. So if so, why would the Kohen be chayiv at all? He didn't eat enough food to be chayiv for eating something that was aser to him. Ah, he only had one fig. Why would he be chayiv? Even though he wasn't allowed to eat it, why would he get malchus for it? You need to eat a kezias to get a malchus. Good question, right? Well, one answer, which Rav and others suggest, is yeah, in Hachinami, this isn't talking about Malkus on a Deraisa level. It's what we call Malkus Mardus. It's only made a Rabbanan. But that's not really what one might term a satisfactory answer, because the Gemara doesn't imply that we're talking about rabbinical level Malkus. It implies we're talking about Deraisa level. So the Achronim suggest two answers. One is given by the Poras Yosef, who says that, by the way, whether you need a threshold of kezias, remember, was a machlokas. There was an opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who said that a birya, anything that's a full creation, remember we talked about this, even if it's a kernel of wheat, if it's a full birya, a full creation, its own entity, even if it's not a kezias, I'd be chayiv on it. Maybe this brisa is in accordance with that minority opinion. That'd be one suggestion. The other suggestion is maybe he ate it with other figs. So and what's fascinating over here is even though Maybe he was eating other figs, so you know this fig was usher to him. So the chiddush is that he can include other figs, and he'd be mitzar if they'd be added to that shear of the usher fig in order to reach a kizayis. So that he'd be, so he's not actually eating a kizayis of isser, but he's eating a kizayis, and the okay food for him to eat combines with the non-okay food and thereby gives him malchus for eating the trumas maseros. So, you know, this idea comes in, you see this like in Pasuk Baba Kisnin. So, okay, if I have enough mizonos, I have to wash on it. The question is, what if I'm eating like non-mizonos food with it? Would it be added to the shear to be enough that I would have to wash for that meal? So it's we see this idea in halacha. Anyway, 7:53. We have to end at 7:55. So thank you everyone for joining us tonight. Wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos. And for those who are on the board meeting, I guess I'll see you on the board meeting in a few. Okay. Take care, everyone. Have a good moed.